Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. There may be no more fitting game in the 2017 Bears season than yesterday. John Fox's squad loses to a team that doesn't score a touchdown. Robbie Gould, the ex-Bear, kicks five field goals against them and smack talks after the win. Bears lose to a one-win team. They've lost five straight. So why is John Fox still employed? Shohei Ohtani is making his list and checking it twice, and the Cubs are still on it. They're one of seven teams that will meet with the Japanese baseball phenom. So does Theo actually have a chance to land his great white whale? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a good weekend, despite the Bears' outcome. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show from the Tribune, he is Teddy Greenstein, lead columnist at the Trib. You also catch him on The Score. He's David Hall. And radio legend, had a great run at The Score, has a brand new book out. Our friend Terry Borges is here. How are you?
Well, thank you, David. Is the legend somebody else here?
How you feel? Good?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right, so you have a brand new book out called The Score of a Lifetime, 25 years talking Chicago sports. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the book.
Well, it's a promise I made to listeners to do it. I sort of fooled around with it over the years, saying, it'll be in the book rather than answering a question. It'll be in the book, because after a while you get tired of answering, so I said it'll be in the book. And when I make a promise, I keep the promise.
So
I wanted
out.
To do the book so, like, if I'm sitting where David Haw is sitting, and we're sitting on a bar stool, I want that person who reads the book to think that's exactly the way I'm talking to him right now. And that's exactly what I tried to do.
And they can get the book at Barnes & Noble all over the place.
All over the place. Oh, it's in every store
in
America, I believe.
There you go.
That's what I'm told. Every store in America has that book.
Are you the type to kiss and tell? I mean, is there stuff in here? Have you taken shots at some people?
No. Well, the behind-the-scenes radio stuff that maybe some people don't know, but no, kiss and tell. I mean, we've all run across athletes over the years that don't want us to say something, right? Right. Well, I ran across plenty, and no, I did not, because I wrote about sports in the 80s, which I covered mostly, and I did not write about the things I knew about certain people.
Which is a lot.
I could have.
You got a chapter on Murph in here?
Yes. I could have.
Again, The Score of a Lifetime, and you can pick it up all over the place. All right, let's get started with Bears conversation from yesterday. So they roll into a game against the San Francisco 49ers, who have one stinking win. And David Haw, they didn't just lose. They got dominated.
Well, they did, and, you know, it was worse because you saw that. Robbie Gould is the guy that they cut. It was a bad day for everybody, but most of all, it was bad for Ryan Pace. I mean, the kicker he cut beat him with five field goals. The quarterback he drafted was outplayed by the guy that he couldn't get to Chicago, and Jimmy Garoppolo. I know the Patriots were asking a lot, but when you see the contrast in Garoppolo and Trubisky, it goes to your head, which one would you have preferred last offseason? And then finally, there's, you know, Garoppolo did his damage against a secondary that had a safety they signed Thursday off the street because their depth was so bad he could do it.
And by the way, you also had a kicker yesterday they signed who couldn't kick a long field goal. So, I mean, you really had a combination of everything. And I know Pace hasn't said anything. He hasn't really said anything. But that's what they do. Jerry Angelo used to not say anything.
September 6th was the last time Pace spoke on the record.
September 6th. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got – what's he going to say? We waited for guys forever throughout Bears history. I've got more bad Bears football in my mind than anybody here. That I've seen enough of, going all the way back to Abe Gibron and beyond when it was bad. And you had a field goal kicker you signed this week because the other guy is awful, gone. He couldn't kick a field goal more than 33 yards.
Because so even if they got the ball back, they would not have been able to kick a field goal.
We would not have been able to kick a field goal.
Do you realize that Foxy doesn't even know who our kicker is? Take a listen.
Carlos Santos did tweak his groin a little bit. That's why we went with our punter. He did the kickoffs. Pat O'Donnell handled that.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Carlos Santos.
Okay. In fairness, he is a kicker, and he is a 54th guy on a roster.
Oh, geez. David, you cannot defend that.
I'm not defending John Fox, but I will say that of all the things that you could comment on, criticize from yesterday,
Would you call him Tom Bannon, the assistant sports editor? You'd know who Tim Bannon is.
It's a little different, Cap. I mean, this is the kicker that you signed midseason because your other kicker failed.
Miserably. The only coach who can get away with getting names
Tim
wrong.
Tim Greenstein. What do you
All right, we got it. Is Lou Holtz. And Lou Holtz got names wrong
all the time.
Called me Terry at first.
But he won. So he was creative brilliance.
He doesn't know a lot of his guys,
too. He's an absent-minded professor.
But Lou had some genius. John Fox, zero genius.
Zero genius.
See? That's all I'm saying.
Which is what people said. When the Bears hired him, we talked to a guy from Denver. And he said he's a great coach from Monday through Saturday, but just don't show up on Sunday. Don't even think about what's going to happen on Sunday, which seems to be, I don't know what he's doing now, but that seemed to be the case early, that don't you question his game strategy, aside from the fact they're bad?
Well, yeah. I mean,
everything he does.
Every week there seems to be a new example.
Something new.
Okay,
yeah.
Speaking of strategy, he allows the 49ers to run the clock all the way down so that Robbie Gould can beat them with a chip shot. Here's Foxy on why they did not allow San Francisco to score.
It would have been done at about 136 or 140 or whatever it was. And, we felt good about the block we had, on a potential field goal. Neither one of those are great options, at the 5-4 yard line.
Well, I think out of the last 2,800 kicks from that distance and in, they've blocked the NFL has blocked 20 out of 2,800.
I love somebody pulled out that stat.
There's really not anything this season he said that sounds any dumber. I mean, really, and there's a lot to choose from. And it's unfortunate because, you look at it, every day that's going to be played for the until he says the next kind of dumb thing. That's what you get when you continue to employ this guy, is that it's going to be a month's worth of bad stuff.
All right, here's our Sports Talk Lab poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Which era was worse, Trestman or Fox? Oof. Again, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. How would you vote, TB?
Ooh. By reputation, Fox. Trestman was sort of a thing in the dark, and you say, okay, he's a great offensive mind, and he wasn't any of that. But Fox had somewhat of a reputation. Although everybody who knows him say can't coach on Sundays, but I got that field goal block. You had that one, didn't you? You knew what that was.
That's right.
You knew what that play was.
Yeah, it was a great design.
I would say Fox. Trestman was, I don't know what that was, but this was supposed to be a solid NFL guy, great reputation.
He's awful.
He can do well. Yes, he is awful. Yes, he is.
I would say also Fox. The first time I ever saw Mark Trestman, it was at a celebrity golf outing, and he's hunched over, and his shirt is untucked. He looks like he weighs about 150 pounds, and I said, I've never seen somebody who's the opposite of Mike Ditka. That's actually him. Like, you couldn't have believed that this guy was a head football coach. At that point, I said, this guy must really be smart if he got that job.
So the day they hire him.
Yeah, so that said, Fox's was way disappointing, shockingly so.
I don't know if you'll remember this. The day we hire him, the Bears hire him.
Who's we?
He and I.
I mean, I was not hiring him with you.
He and I get Tim Brown on, the Heisman Trophy winner from Notre Dame, on our radio show.
Yeah.
And I said, so what do you think? He goes, it's a joke.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
I'm just telling you. Nice man. He's got no chance of being successful. The day they hired him.
Wow. It's like, I think I said this, it's like choosing between shingles and gout. I mean, you don't want either one. One's more painful than the other. But I think that really, in perspective, Mark Trestman set the franchise back further than John Fox did. And I think he made it harder for John Fox to win. I don't think that John Fox has set this back as far back for the next guy.
Fox is way worse record-wise.
Record-wise, absolutely.
See, I don't agree that Trestman did. I think Emery set the franchise back.
It's all connected. It's all connected.
It's personnel. It's not a coach.
Whoever replaces John Fox is going to have a shot to win fairly quickly, I think, because you might have a quarterback. You might have some defense.
You might.
But when Trestman left,
it was a train wreck.
Total dysfunction everywhere.
That's what he brings to you. That's what he offered him, and they took it.
Yeah.
What about Ryan Pace? What about him?
Look.
You want him back?
I don't think you can keep changing regimes every 3 years and expect to ever get it right.
But what has he gotten right? What exactly has he done that's right?
He probably has drafted some pieces that you can win with. Now, his free agent record is spotty at best, but he did get Akeem Hicks, who's a piece.
Eddie Goldman
he drafted. Cohen yesterday, he's a revelation.
Jordan Howard.
Until somebody kills him.
Jordan Howard made a couple business decisions yesterday, but I think he's overall a very good pick.
Cody Whitehair, solid pick.
I mean, you have some pieces. Trubisky, too. I think, I'm not ready to give up on Trubisky. I think that he needs to be coached in a way that he's not being coached. That's the bigger problem for me. So I think Pace, you could – right now, Cap, I think it's probably you go either way on Pace. And
I'm not sure he got to hire his coach.
I'm tired of that argument.
Well, that's what –
he was a general manager.
Greg Gabriel on the radio station you work on, that you were on forever. Greg Gabriel says 100% that was not Pace's hire.
Okay, well
– he would know.
If that's the fact, then you got to let a guy hire a coach
and put
his program –
who was he going to hire? Who did you want? Who did you want more at that point that was going to be better? Because it could have been worse.
I liked Dan Quinn. I liked the guy.
They were getting Dan Quinn.
Pardon me?
They were going to get Dan Quinn in Chicago.
Why?
I don't know about that.
He's in Atlanta. He took the team to the Super Bowl. That was a better job at the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though. Ryan and he had a relationship.
Does a team look at this? Does a guy who's going to take this job look at this like this is a building, that there's a lot of pieces here you can use? A guy with a keen eye for it mentioned some guys that are okay. But are they really? Is it an attractive job to
you? You mean for the next coach?
Yeah.
It is a good job because you've got Trubisky and you've got, I think, a solid ownership. I think people view the McCaskies.
Well, I'll stop you right there.
Don't you think that they're not meddling?
You have some pieces when you look at the film. So when you watch the tape, have some pieces that are going to excite some coaches. But let's not ignore the elephant in the room.
Which is?
Ownership.
So you
management.
Think in NFL-wise, the McCaskies are viewed poorly?
As long as Ted Phillips is the team president for the Chicago Bears, you're going to have a hard time attracting the most qualified head coaches to your building. It's just the reality.
But aren't there other owners who are just always butting in and are probably awful to work for?
As historically, as the Bears have, as you know, it's habit. You know, it's systemic. It's a problem. And it's something they have to overcome. So the Bears' job isn't just, okay, charter franchise, Chicago, come and coach this young quarterback. They've got to get over the obstacle of the reputation that Ted Phillips and George McCaskey have established throughout the league. And that's not imagined or perceived. That's real if you talk to people who are coaching in this league. It's not a figment of anybody's imagination.
Well, I can say that you've drawn the same picture that I'm drawing, that it's not a great position for a lot of reasons, and those the aforementioned people are some of the reason. Some of the ownership is some of the reason I would look twice at it and say, well, why do I want to do that to myself? John Fox was an established NFL coach, a successful NFL coach, and here he's looked like a clown. He's
correct.
Been a clown for year after year. I mean, and you could say, well, it's the ownership. There's something to that. I mean, I've listened to the Ted Phillips thing for 20 years.
Yeah.
20 years of it. That what is he doing there? And I can't answer it. I don't know why he's still. I don't know what he has pictures of. I don't know what, but he's still there. So when a guy takes this job, do you attract a young up and coming coach? Well, I think that's what you have to try.
I think it's probably the direction you go. I don't know that there's a lot of them out there. I don't know who the next Sean McVay is. I'm not that smart. Right.
Is John DeFilippo that guy in Philly?
He is highly respected. Cap. I mean, I think you want to be careful. But even though McVay was sort of that guy that worked, you'll know him when you see him. It's easy to say. It's very difficult to pinpoint. But I think they'll know when they sit down that they have the right guy.
I had Adam Schefter on today. I said, better job. Giants, Bears. He said, Bears. Bears job's better.
What reason?
He said the
Giants
is just a train wreck in there right now.
But what was he basing it on? The fact that Eli Manning is on the way out, they don't have a quarterback in waiting?
All of it.
That's typically what these jobs are defined by. Yep. The Giants have not experienced a dysfunction as a franchise that the Bears have.
Yeah.
They've also
it's a recent dysfunction.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're that's pretty screwed up what they did to Eli, but still they have two super, you know.
They've won two
they've
Super
won.
Bowls. All right. Shohei's shortlist has seven teams on it. Sorry, Yankees, Red Sox, and others. The Cubs are still alive, though, along with six other teams, most out west. Does Theo have a real chance to land his great white whale? And Ohio State is the Big Ten champion. And for the second straight year, winning that Power 5 conference does not get you in the playoff. Is it time to expand, or is four the perfect number?
Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Shohei Ohtani and his 102-mile-an-hour fastball, his 30-plus home run power, has narrowed it to 7 teams. Cubs, Dodgers, Angels, Padres, Giants, Mariners, Rangers, with most in the game believing the Seattle Mariners are the front runner. Look, Terry, this guy is supposedly the real deal. Do you see any way he ends up here?
I don't, actually. I mean, I think that Seattle is pretty well. Look, if I'm from Japan and I want to go home at any time, I don't want the extra. I can just go there and get in a plane and go right to it without fooling around. So when I see Seattle and a clubhouse leader, I'm going, my God, you want to play for Seattle? What you talk about bad, just a nondescript bunch of that haven't been in the playoffs forever. But yes, I think they're your front runner.
I assume all those guys look at Ichiro and the incredible success he had in Seattle.
Well, what about Fukudome? Come on, yeah. You know?
Yeah, what a great game here. Kuji Fujikawa.
Yeah, what about Fuji?
Yeah.
Whatever his last name was. I think it's fun to consider. I mean, the two-way aspect with Joe Maddon having the ability to use this guy in different ways is a lot of fun to consider because he would find a way to get the most out of him. I think it's fun that you anticipate this happening. It's nice to see you learning Japanese, Cap, trying to make the pitch.
I'm impressed. Yeah,
yeah. That.
It's very impressive. But I think realistically, you got to maybe, as you would say, kind of like, you know, tap the brakes a little
bit. Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, move on. College football has its Final Four, and Ohio State is on the outside looking in. Look, this is your bailiwick. This is your deal. You would not expand to 8 teams.
Yep.
I would. I think many are with me. Dan Wetzel had a very eloquent column on that topic today.
He did.
Did Ohio State get screwed?
Not in the slightest bit. Ohio State got pretty well trounced by Oklahoma at home and then completely obliterated at Iowa. You can't pretend those games didn't happen, especially the Iowa game when you give up 55.
Even though they played 9 conference games and
yes,
Alabama
Jim Delaney,
played 8 with
even
Mercer.
Though, yeah, even though the Big Ten plays 9 conference games and no FCS, all those games actually count. You definitely don't want to expand. This year, there were really only 3 teams that deserved to be in the playoff, let alone 8. Alabama was fringy, and Ohio State definitely wasn't worthy. And if you look at the history of the playoff, I'd say there's only been 1 team that has a good beef, 2014 TCU. Otherwise, it is the right number. It's a number that then you're not expanding, so you're not taxing the bodies of these guys who are trying to get into the NFL, and you are still putting an absolute premium on all the games heading into the playoffs.
I'm with Teddy. I think 4 teams works. I think Ohio State basically got what they earned.
You know it's going to change.
Well, maybe. I don't know that it's going to change. I think that there's a lot of you look at this. The right 4 teams made it. You know, Ohio State lost 30 days ago now by 31 points. You know, nobody asks what would happen if Alabama gave up 55 points in November because they never would. This is a better team. The right teams are.
I'm with you. I think it's gonna be 4, but I think there's a possibility they'll move. I do, because the guy that's running it used to be against all of it.
Right.
But he's running it now. He used to be. Oh, I don't want any play. We don't do that here. Well, I don't trust him. If there's money to be made,
you're talking about Delaney?
They'll take that jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
If there's money to be made, they'll make it.
Well, what Delaney realized was when the SEC was dominating, and if you only have 2 spots, and if the SEC is going to get both of them, like when they're getting LSU and Alabama in, that's bad for the Big Ten. So at least give it 4 access points, and they've made the playoff every year.
Don't ever say then that every game counts, because Alabama didn't even win their conference. They're playing for a national title.
Cap, okay, you want to conference
titles? So many games count, Cap.
Nothing.
Because by the way, in Wetzel's system, where he had 8 teams listed today, you know who a couple teams were not listed in there? Ohio State and Penn State.
Right.
Oh, well, then we have to have a 16-team playoff. No, let's have 32. Let's just make it 64. Right. I mean, where does it stop? You're always going to have some issues with, quote, unfairness. There were only 3 worthy teams this year. There weren't 4. There weren't more than 4.
And the points you make about Alabama's schedule and, you know, they played Mercer and everything. Wisconsin's schedule was also the reason we're having this argument. And because it's poor non-conference schedule and because they were not a worthy undefeated team. I mean, that's, you look at Ohio State beating them didn't mean as much as it would have.
They tried. They played at BYU. BYU ended up crummy.
If Ohio State Saturday had won 59-0, are they in?
I think so. I think if it had been a really convincing victory, like 14, I think they would have been in because Alabama had no great signature wins.
No top 15 wins other than Florida State preseason rank.
But Ohio State was not that good in Indy, so I think it was the right call.
Well, and I think what we saw, which was kind of weird, that for some reason you can't get these kids up 2 weeks in a row. I mean, Auburn plays great against Alabama, and then they just were absolutely god-awful against a team they'd already thumped. I mean, they killed Georgia. Georgia just mauls them. I mean, I look at that Ohio State game in Iowa, and I go, what
that was
is that?
Crazy.
But
result.
I I'm with you. I don't think they belong in it either. I like it. I like the four they got.
Cap, if you go to eight all these games, then it's like how many can you take a three-loss team? How many two-loss teams?
And these games don't mean as much. Yeah. Now every game feels like a playoff game during the season.
No, the conference titles mean nothing.
That's okay.
Not that they don't mean – they mean nothing. It's not true.
It's not true at all. That's not true at all.
Tell that to the people. Derek Rose has ended his self-imposed exile. How nice of him. He's back at the Cavs facility. But will he finish the season or will injuries force him to leave yet again?
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
Derrick Rose has decided to go back to work, and he will be back with the Cleveland Cavaliers. He will not play tonight. But how nice of him that he has decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to work and play.
He's a weird dude.
He's a weird dude.
I love Chicago players who succeed, and there have been several of them over the years, but he is one strange dude. I mean, there's a million Derrick Rose stories, none of which I can tell, nor did I, but I mean, he is a weird dude.
Are they going to be in the second book?
No, I don't think anybody wants that, but he's just strange. I mean, there's just something, generally there's something, the hook that you can like and all the other stuff, but since the injuries and everything else, he's just...
I'm glad he came back. I mean, he's with the right team. They're winning 11 in a row, but I mean, they're going to go deep in the playoffs. It'd be nice for him to play a role in that. The Cavs?
Yeah. Can they beat the Boston Celtics?
I think that's the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. Depending on how well Isaiah Thomas comes back. I'm glad Derrick Rose did not walk away and create a bigger mystery surrounding his career.
At age 29.
At age 29.
I like Derrick.
A little money.
In person.
Kaplan money.
Big.
We've all experienced that. He's a very friendly, personable guy. He doesn't like look down on... You know, it might be a reporter from a tiny radio station or newspaper. He will answer his questions. I root for him. I think he's basically a good guy with a lot of flaws.
He's got some flaws.
I think he became famous so fast, and he's so used to he had this bubble surrounding his life, his entire life. And I think it becomes difficult to deal with reality sometimes.
All right, so the book is The Score of a Lifetime, 25 years talking Chicago sports. Did you ever think... Back in the 80s, hey, man, I'm going to end up on radio, and that's where I'm going to be.
No. Not a chance, no. I never thought about it at all. I mean, when The Score came along, it was a chance I took. I mean, I think I was about doing newspapers after 20 years, and I didn't like the direction that the whole thing was going anyway, and Score came along at the right time, and I rolled the dice.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.